Time on Sam Hargraves tonight. Sam Edmund in a very busy time of the week, obviously leading up to the grand final, where I'll just be filling in for him today, as I have been for the last couple of weeks. But it's wonderful to have your company. Good evening to you. I hope you've had as good a day as you possibly can in whatever COVID situation that you find yourself in. Great to have your company. However you're listening, wherever you're listening, 1300 736 736 is the number to call. 0433 98 11 16. Off the Temper text, Temper a mattress like no other. Time on, of course, is your say on the news of the day. So if you've been sitting in the car today, if you've been at work, or you've been at home, and you've just haven't had a chance to be able to dial that number, 1300 736 736, but you've just been itching to have your say, well, now is that time. 1300 736 736. And we start off tonight with a little bit of breaking news. So Richmond Footy Club have just put up on their website that as of 2012, David Teague, former Carlton coach, and we've all followed that story. It's been one of the biggest stories of the year, just how his time at Carlton unravelled and the circumstances in which it did. But David Teague will be part of the Richmond coaching staff in 2022. So 40 years of age, he'll bolster Damien Hardwick's coaching panel. He's a former best and fairest at Carlton in his playing days. He's been 14 years in the coaching industry as well, at 26 years of age with the Northern Bull Ants. He went to West Coast in 2010 and looked after their defence. He went to St Kilda in 2014, to Adelaide in 2015, and he was part of the coaching staff at Adelaide that got to the 2017 grand final. He returned to Carlton, then, of course, was interim coach in 2019 after the club parted ways with Brendan Bolton, and then took over officially for the 2020 season, and was ingloriously dumped by Carlton this year after an external review. Well, it's good to see that good people getting more opportunities. And this was reported before the decision was made about David Teague. Well, I'll rephrase that. This was reported before the decision was finally announced with David Teague, that Richmond were interested in him. I can't remember exactly who broke that story at the time. It might have been Caro on Footy Classified. And given this story's just come to hand, I haven't been able to go back and just search who actually was the person that broke that story. So apologies to them for not being able to give them the accreditation that they deserve. But the Tigers have released that statement. It's up on their website at the moment. Their GM of footy performance, Tim Livingston, said that Teague would be a great addition to the club's coaching department. He said David's a highly skilled and experienced coach who will be of great benefit to our players and his fellow coaches. We're excited to have David on board and welcome him and his family to the Richmond Footy Club. And Teague is quoted as saying he's excited about the fresh start. He says, coaching is my passion and I'm excited by the opportunity to get to work with a new group of players and at a new club. I am looking forward to getting to work this pre-season, embracing the challenge that we all have to climb the Tigers back up the ladder in 2022. It is great to be involved. So well done to David Teague. Well done to the Tigers. And that's a bit of breaking news to start off the show this evening. 1300 736 736. There is more news out of Carlton. Tom Morris is reporting today that save for an Alistair Clarkson backflip, that the Carlton job is all but. Former Brisbane Lions captain, three-time premiership skipper, Brownlow medalist, and current Port Adelaide midfield coach Michael Voss, one of the greats of the game. But Tom Morris from Fox Sports reporting that he's in the box seat, and all that would knock him off that is an Alistair Clarkson backflip. Mark's calling in Bacchus Marsh, wants to talk weather. G'day, Mark. Just bear with me while I rattle the phone line around and get you started. Here we go. Mark, come on in.
You got me, Sammy?
Got you there, Mark. Fire away.
Mate, just a quickie before what I want to talk about. Mate, you just broke a major story. Oh, Richmond's got a succession plan for Hardwick. They brought Teague in. My God, another succession plan. Oh, my God, Richmond fans, what do you think about that? I just can't believe another succession plan. Anyway.
Either can I, Mark, given that that's not what I said, and you know
that. Hardwick's been there for like 500 years. He's due for his, you know, next stage in life. Jeez, AFL, credit to AFL coach coming in. You had a backing, Mark?
What were you really ringing to call about?
All right, now that my heart's slowing down. Jeez.
The weather gods,
the footy gods, mate, they are dead set. Are they serious or what? if you put the 7-day forecast for Perth up, and then you put up Melbourne's forecast for the next 7 days, i.e. grand final week, and with these border closures, oh, you just want to jump on a plane, look at Perth's weather for the next week. Look at grand final day. Look at our grand final day. What, we got 14 degrees and crap. And they're looking at what, 25, 26 degrees for grand final day?
Yeah,
25 Perth. Basically for the whole week with perfect sunshine? What have we got? 12 degrees with bloody hail.
Yeah, it's been a bit of David Hale about today, hasn't there? My old man sent me a photo. We got a little bit today where I am. But my old man sent me a photo in Bendigo. They got absolutely hammered today. So, Mark, the point of the call was to say how good is the weather going to be in Perth for grand final day?
Yeah, it was. But when you had me on hold and you brought up Cheeky, I just thought, oh, my God, what a story.
You got excited. You got excited. Hey, mate, great to hear you. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Sammy. May the force be with you, son.
Yeah, you too. 1-300-736-736. Tom's in Eildon. Tom, hello to you.
Yeah, g'day, Sammy. How's it going, mate?
Very well. Thank you for asking.
Excellent. Got a couple of things for you tonight.
Fire
there's
away.
Been a bit of talk. There's been a few things, few people chatting about, like, Geelong and their recruiting. I'm just, like, it seems curious for me because it seems like they were comparing Geelong and Richmond or a few other clubs, and, like, it seems to me like a difference of philosophy because Geelong have had... like Stewart through the rookie draft, if I'm correct, Tim Kelly, like Brad Close, guys like that. And like, correct me if I'm wrong, but like Kelly and I know Stewart, but I think Kelly as well were both recruited from like the Geelong Country Leagues.
Kelly's a WA lad. He got drafted by Geelong. He'd been in the waffle for several years. He was a mature age recruit via the draft. I'm fairly sure it was the regular draft, not the preseason, but I'll double check that. Could have been.
All right. Like, well, it sort of goes on my point, really, because, like, they recruit players from, like you say, the waffle. Closey was at the SANFL level, and it just seems like a difference of philosophy and something that's, I think it's definitely worked for them in the past and something that they could probably hang their hat on high. And if not for Kelly wanting to go back to WA, they could have had a really, really strong and tough roster to sort of work with. And just my second point tonight, on the Channel 7, like the commentary team, it looks like BT and James Brayshaw are going to be commentating this weekend. Like, I like them. I like them as radio commentators, though. And after listening to watching the Melbourne Geelong game last Friday night, I just think someone like Jason Bennett, and even like I was watching the Glenelg Sandful semi final on Saturday night, someone like John Casey, like two professional, like career commentators, just someone like, so, like their insight in the game, like watching sports. Like overseas and that, they seem to be like the more sort of insightful and like they break down of the game and their commentary skills are really good. I just think like I like JB and BT,
yeah,
but I think they're probably more suited to like FM radio and like that style of commentary, if you get what I'm saying.
It's an interesting one for me, Tom, as someone who's lucky enough to commentate footy as well. And the thing about commentary is it's very subjective. Everybody has a style that they like, everybody has a favourite they like, and everybody believes that what they like is what's best. And I absolutely get that. But like all forms of entertainment, it is subjective. So make no mistake about it, BT and JB are two of the very best that do it. The people that run Channel 7 aren't idiots. They pick the best people they believe to do that job. And those guys have just decades of experience as play-by-play callers, and they're in the best handful in the country, without a shadow of a doubt. The idea, and whilst people's styles are often very different in the way that they commentate. Some like to have a little bit more fun. Others like to be very much straight down the line. Others like to roll in elements of analysis to their own play-by-play. And it's all very much defined by the organisation on what they expect from their play-by-play commentators. So Normally, in how it would be structured, is that your play-by-play guys just call the ball, and then it's your experts. So it's your Wayne Careys, it's your Daisy Pearces, it's your Luke Hodges that are going to be part of that coverage. They're the ones that are supposed to give the analysis, and the play-by-play guys are there to bring those analysts in to ask them the questions, to uncover, you know, the how and the why, where the commentator's supposed to do the what. But absolutely respect your opinion, and everybody's got them when it comes to commentary, because it is such a subjective thing. It's, you know, it's like anything. It's like stand-up comedy. What do you find funny as opposed to what do I find funny? And it's, if you look at Twitter, Tom, it is, for some reason, it's something that gets debated about really, it's very heated, the Twitter debates about who should be commentating what and who's the best commentators and who's not. But I appreciate your call. But, I sit in the camp that believes. And look, I'm lucky that I get to listen on SEN to the two guys that won the awards this year. Jerry Whateley won Best Radio Caller for his work on SEN, and Anthony Hudson, who calls with Jared, and you'll hear him calling the grand final with Jared. Anthony Hudson was this year awarded in the AFL Media Awards as the best TV commentator. And as I say, those two guys as well would be in those handful that I think, in my opinion, are the best in the game. So, it's just one of those things. It is absolutely subjective. But I can guarantee you this, on grand final day, like they have done every time they've done it, and whether you're listening to us or watching it on TV, the people that get selected on grand final day are selected because they are the best at their organisation, that's for sure. 1-300-736-736-0433-98-11-16. We'll come back and keep taking your calls. Alan in Bentley, ready and raring to go. Now, a couple other things that are making news today as well. Sorry, just getting the desk sorted here. And the whole reaction to Ollie Wines. What a phenomenal and deserving winner of the Brownlow Medal. Equal record number of votes, 36. He equaled Dusty in 2017. Incredible count. Was really well done by Channel 7. Really well done by the guys on SEN too, Cam Luke and Michael Barlow last night. And there's a heap of stories in and around it. So we'll bring you the reaction. We'll bring you the reaction to Ollie Wines' history-making Brownlow, the first ever Port Adelaide player to win it. We'll do that on the other side of this and keep going through the news of the day. 1-300-736-736 to have your say on the news of the day. It's the end. Welcome back to Time On. Sorry, I'm just laughing. It's a silly thing, but we just haven't got the right little bits that are supposed to come in and out of the breaks on there, but we'll get that fixed in just a moment. Hey, 1-300-736-736 is the number to call, 0433-98-11-16. Before we just go through, Ollie Wines was on the station today speaking to Jared Whateley after becoming Port Adelaide's very first Brownlow medalist. We'll get to that in just a moment. And just some of the reaction across the day to him winning. There's a couple of people that have given us a call. Tommy in South Australia is a passionate Blues man. Hello, mate.
Yeah, how you going, Sam?
Good, mate. What have you got for me?
Well, Sam, I just want to... Look, let me have my say. I won't be long. But no disrespect, Sam. Carlton come to realisation, I come... And to the president's credit, they've stuffed up the 20 years. Right? Now, no disrespect, Sam. Let me have my say, all right? Then you can talk. Now, you've gone on about... I've been listening to you about Tiggy. I've got no qualms about Tiggy, no disrespect. But you know what the honest thing is? Sam, I don't think he would be a head coach again. Let me have my say. But no disrespect, Sam.
Tom, I haven't interrupted you once. You're absolutely having your say. Fire away.
Sam, all right. Bolton, no disrespect. Not even makes a coach. And the thing is, Lee Tigg will be a good assistant coach. But he's not a head coach. Now, whether Voss makes or not, I don't know. The best thing they've done is got Brian Cook. And I think from near on, the whole club said this guy will make decisions. And about time, because they've been in the wilderness for 20-odd years. I agree. Now, you've been calling on about Carlton's done a dirty on TV. You have, Sam. I'll be honest with you. Sam, I've got no comments about TV, but he's probably not a coach, mate. And playing players out of position, like Stocker and like Sir Prentising, Sam, he's done a lot of things. He's probably a good assistant coach, But I've been listening to you. It comes across that Carlton's done the dirty on TV. No, they haven't. All right? And they have to make a hard decision. Now, you can have your say. But Sam, I think you're a bit out of line.
Tommy, do you feel like I've... Do you feel like I've let you have your say? Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, but I've been listening to you. You seem to think we're doing the dirt on Teague. They've been harsh on him. But, Sam, the realisation, a few other supporters might think, he's not a coach, mate. He's a good assistant coach. But, Sam, no, even much as a coach. And Bolton's the same. He will never get a... I know he's gone to Collingwood. He won't get a coaching go. It's nothing against the guy, Sam. But they're probably not head coaches.
All right, we'll wait and see. Oh, Tommy, thank you very much for the call. I greatly appreciate it. I've made my feelings on the Carlton's, and in air quotes, process pretty clear on what I think they did. I think that the way that they treated David Teague was pretty bloody ordinary in the end of it. The way you get to a destination doesn't always excuse the end result. But hopefully for Carlton fans, that this is the start of better decisions being made, better processes being put in place, and better results for the fans. Because at the end of the day, that's where I often go to. It's if the fans get finally something to be excited about and happy about, and their club's not looking like a ship that's run ashore because nobody seems to really have the rudder aimed in the right direction. So, yeah, without getting stuck on the past for Carlton, let's look ahead to the future. And at the moment, their future is Brian Cook coming in as a CEO. And whether or not they get Clarkson, they still seem to think they're a chance. And Tom Morris reporting today that Michael Voss very much in the box seat to claim that job, which I think would be a great appointment for the Carlton Football Club. So, Tommy, I hope you feel like you've had your say, mate, and I appreciate the call. 1-300-736-736 is the number. Before we get on to Ollie Wines today with Jerry Waitley, Alan's in Bentley. G'day, Alan.
Yeah, g'day, Sam. Listen, I've never spoke to you before, mate. I'll normally try and get on in the mornings with some of the other boys, but I've got to hold you to account, mate. Like, honestly, wowee, you're talking up Brayshaw and BT, or you're saying... play-by-play calls. Brayshaw is the worst football caller in this country. He has no play-by-play skills whatsoever. To call a kick a ball, is he still playing cricket? I mean, seriously, if you ran a poll as to who you want commentating this grand final, I guarantee you James Brayshaw is absolutely nowhere near the top.
In your opinion, Alan?
Well, I'd be happy for you to do a poll because, honestly, I think the two of them together are absolutely disgraceful.
I've got a suggestion for you, Alan.
Yep.
Just turn down the volume and put on SEN, mate.
Well, no, because it's not live. Because I've tried that. When you try and coincide a live football game, The time there's a 3 to 5 second time difference, yep, and you don't get the right call.
If you Google it, Alan, it'll show you how to do it. It'll show you how to do it.
Right.
Look, I'm absolutely for everybody having their opinions on who they like and who they don't like, but as for getting on and just let's bag people for the sake of bagging them who are just trying to do their job, I'm not a big fan of that. It's all subjective, as I said, Alan. You've got your view on it. I've got mine. You know, I look at it from the point of view of someone who actually does that job as a play-by-play commentator. And, I'm not really in the business of trying to bag other guys that are doing that, especially not guys who have done it at the high level that those two have for many, many, many years. There's a reason they keep getting jobs. It's not a fluke. But I appreciate your thoughts nonetheless. Alan, anything else you wanted to discuss before we jump through to something else?
I just wanted to say, when are SEN going to jump on board and start having something to say about the incessant gambling adverts on TV and radio? That's all.
Alan, thanks very much for the call. I mean, that's opening up another can of worms there. It's not illegal. So, yeah, those people have the right to be able to advertise. That's pretty much all I'll say on that one as well. 1-300-736-736 is the number. Can we speak about some footy? Let's go to Gavin in Pakenham. G'day, Gav.
G'day, Sam. How you going?
Really well, thanks.
I just wanted to speak about the Brownlow. It's been spoken about before, obviously, but just how it's a midfielder's award. I honestly think in some ways it needs to be revamped, where the umpires can sit after a game, and instead of this 3-2-1 bizzo, where they're going to go three Bonapelli, two McRae, and one to another midfielder, or maybe another side, they say let's give three votes to the best backman, three votes to the best forward, and three votes to say a ruckman or something along those lines. And come the end of the night, we might have the situation where we've got a Dylan Grimes or some backman is head to head in the last game who kept someone to zero goals, like a Hawkins or something to zero goals, could win a Brownlow. A forward who's been good all year, like a McKay, could win a Brownlow instead of it just being all midfielders.
It's an interesting one, isn't it, Gavin? And it's something that's been discussed throughout the course of the day. Joe Whateley did an editorial on it today about it really reflecting the sign of the times. And I'm curious as to know whether, and I think it's because as we get better at analysing the game, we have the experts that look at the game and are telling us week in, week out that these games are often won or lost in the midfield. It starts and stops in the midfield. We've all heard that expression before, haven't we? And I think that becomes part of the consciousness in and around footy. And I'm not surprised that pervades the consciousness of the umpires as well, because we've got the most respected voices in the game, no matter who you listen to or watch, saying it all starts and stops in the midfield. And that's correct. So over time, we've just seen that, and this year is probably the most glaring example that we've seen, and it might even get worse next year as well. Or not worse, I shouldn't say worse, because that's a matter of interpretation. But you're right in the fact that it is now, without a shadow of a doubt, a midfielder's award. So there was only, of the top 30 vote-getters in the Brownlow last night, Max Gawn, and yep, Ruckman and midfielders, I get that, but he was the only person not an out-and-out on-baller that was in the top 30. Yep, I know Ruckman are classified as part of the midfield, but I think you get my point. The next closest 9 votes was Tex Walker. So there wasn't a key forward, a forward or a defender in the top 30. So there certainly is a real skew that's gone. And whether or not that's that we need to change the Brownlow, or whether or not we need to have a look at, are we, you know, is there another award that we can bring in? Yep, the Coleman is there for the most goals kicked, but even that, I don't know if it does a full service to, you know, we've seen Coleman medalists not make the All-Australian team before. You know, does kicking the most goals automatically make you the best forward in modern footy when there's tackles inside 50, goal assists, marks inside 50, contested marks? There's a whole lot of other things that we have a look at in terms of that. So it's an interesting one that you bring up, Gav, and certainly it seems to be every year we get more and more skewed, and now it's just a total, you know, midfield. It is just totally without a shadow of a doubt for the midfielders. I cannot see a circumstance in which we'd ever see anyone other than a midfielder winning. I mean, people have made examples. People have spoken about it today. And I'll play you what Gary Lyon and Tim Watson had to say about it this morning.
Stephen May, 1 vote. Jake Lever, 5 votes. Sam Taylor, the man that we were lauding for his job on, I think it was Tommy Hawkins, no votes. Alex Keith, no votes. Jordan Ridley, 3. Jacob Wiedering, 1. Liam Jones, 1. Christian Salem, 1.
Right, yeah, but they don't vote. They don't get votes.
Tim,
it's a Brownlow.
It's all good and well for you as a midfielder. What about these poor buggers? Why can't they ever get the chance to win the Brownlow?
Well, because let's not have this conversation.
No, let's have it.
No, let's not have this conversation.
No, let's have it.
No, because the coaches don't even acknowledge them in their own coaches' award. For the same reason.
A game that we all sat there on a Friday night and said that is as good a defensive game as we've ever seen against one of the great great forwards in recent history. Like, just smashed Tom Hawkins.
Too hard for the umpires under the heat of battle.
We've got to maybe talk the Brownlow down then.
No, don't talk it down at all.
No, don't. Not today.
Don't talk it down. Not today.
But anyway, that's just the way it is. It is absolutely a midfielder's award. We have to accept that. Well, we accept it, Tim, and I know today's not the day to do it.
No, don't do it.
Talk down Ollie Wines, because I love the boy and I love what he did.
So that was Gary and Tim speaking about it this morning. I'll play what Jared Waitley had to say about it a little earlier. And I want to keep taking your calls. 1-300-736-736 is the number. Roy in Templestowe, Craig in Mornington, Muzza in Geelong. We'll get to you on the other side of this. Time on, your say on the news of the day. This is a feisty old night. I wasn't really expecting some of these. When I came in, I thought we'd be maybe celebrating and reveling in a history-making Brownlow or getting excited about what's ahead this week. And that's okay. You're allowed to send through what's on your mind. There's a few people sending through a whole lot of stuff about a topic that was brought up before about the advertising. None of those decisions are mine. So texting through to me now, understand that if that's an issue for you and totally respect that. But texting me now, I don't know if that helps your cause. It's so far above my pay grade that, and I'm not trying to be dismissive, but it's absolutely nothing to do with me. So if you wouldn't mind, I understand those concerns and I understand that level of commentary about the issue, but it's at the moment it's clogging up a bit of the feed and there's nothing I can do to help you in that space. So I'm not trying to ignore your texts. I'm not trying to be dismissive of them. Anyway, 1-300-736-736 is the number. Craig's in Mornington. G'day, Craig.
Hey, Sam. How are you going?
Good, thank you. Yourself?
You just let me speak a second.
Go for it.
Sorry, I had to say that. Mate, I know there's all these people calling it the Midfielders Award, but the reality is the award goes to the bloke that gets the footy the most, right? Just like the NFL and the quarterback. You know, he gets the footy the most. He sets up the forwards. You know, he's the guy that's getting the footy the most. He should get the most votes. So it's not the Midfielders Award, it's the bloke that gets the footy the most. That's the game.
It's there's an element of that I would agree with, but I think Tom Mitchell, I'm looking back on the trend of the winners, and I think there's got to be a bit of a mix show. And Lachie Neal was an accumulator, but in his Brownlow year, he added the goal kicking element to his game, so it became more dangerous. Tom Mitchell is an out and out accumulator, but it was just sheer weight of numbers that year. I think there's a bit of a combination of, yes, you've got to be a ball winner, Craig, but you also, and this is a guy called Sean Brady, who's a bit of a Brownlow medal expert analyst. He believes that what really catches the eye is the breakaway from stoppage. So if you accumulate, but if you're someone who takes it away from the stoppage, run and deliver, then that seems to make more of an imprint when he looks back over the track record of voting. So I think there's a bit of that, you're right, about numbers, but it's also the way in which they get them and what they do with it.
Yeah, but they're all over the ground, whereas the defender and the forward just stay in the same spot.
What's that, sorry?
But they're all over the ground, though. The defender and the forward just stay in the same spot.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think that there's a bit of it, obviously, right under the nose of the umpires. And obviously, more involvement more often comes into it. But maybe it's interesting, isn't it? Because we don't want the game to be full stats driven all the time. There's got to be a feel for it. But maybe we've got to get a little bit better. As we've been able to, through our experts that we have, as we've been able to explain the importance of the midfield and then what categorises a great game in the midfield, maybe it's on all of us to be looking to explain a little bit better about what, you know, having what three votes for a defender would look like. What does three votes for a forward look like from that point of view? Maybe it's just part of the evolution of the game. Maybe there will be a time when it swings back to a more even playing field. This is a good point off the text as well, Craig, that McRae had the most footy this year and polled less than half of Bontempelli, which is a great point made. That surprised me that McRae had as little votes as he did. And then the one that probably disproves my theory is that Petrarca didn't poll as many votes as I thought he would, as a break from stoppage player, a run and carry player. 1-300-736-736 is the number. Roy in Templestowe. G'day, Roy.
G'day, Sammy. How you going, mate?
I'm good, mate. You?
Not too bad. I just wanted to give you a bit of positive feedback from a couple of callers back. I reckon you answered very professionally, and listening to your commentating is always great. It's a great listen to.
Thank you, mate. I appreciate that. The caller wasn't ringing up to criticise me, so but I appreciate your kind words. Thank you.
No, that's all right. I just wanted to speak about Ben Cousins last night at the Brownlow. It was really good to see him. He looked very sharp. He looked like he was back on his own two feet. And as you know, I'm a passionate Ben Cousins fan and a passionate Eagle. It was very good to see.
Yeah, obviously there was a lot of goodwill and good sentiment going out to Ben Cousins, who was invited as a previous winner of it. So I think there's been a lot of people, Roy, that have saw it the same way you did, mate. And thank you for making the call. 1-300-736-736. The actual winner, the actual star of the Brownlow Medal was Ollie Wines. He spoke to Gerard Whateley a little earlier today.
Look, this is going to take a while to settle in. Probably weeks, probably months. It's incredibly humbling, and just to obviously know some of the names, the winner before me, and guys that I still idolise to this day. Probably the biggest one is Michael Voss, who had a lot to do with me at Port Adelaide, being a senior assistant. To have my name, I guess, up again next to his, and sort of be similar to what he's achieved is very special, and I'm incredibly humbled.
So Ollie Wines and Gerard Whateley today, he spoke as well about the role of his family and the importance of them.
Yeah, no, I've sent them a fair few photos. They ride the waves with me and everyone involved, particularly back in Melbourne over the last 18 months. This has been their avenue on the weekends, watching Port and barracking for us very hard. So as much for me as an individual, this is a club award, and it's for them.
His dad, Tony, was actually on with Gary and Tim. He gave them a call and just reflected on when Ollie was drafted and what Port have done for him as a person and a player.
He settled in. It's taken a while, Tim. There was a lot of tears going back to the 2nd of November 2012. Don't worry about that. But half past nine in the evening when he was drafted. But look, no, he settled in over there, and the Port Adelaide Footy Club, we couldn't ask for anything more. They've been exceptional. Oh, it is. Yeah, I did. I sort of got a little bit teary, keep this quiet, but it sort of coming into the last round, because, you looked at the numbers and I thought, well, the worst he can, worst thing can happen is he can come and draw with someone. So, yeah, no, a little bit teary. You guys know, you sort of dads take kids to their first footy, and probably mums as well. But the father's sort of there through the process, I think if you sit back and like reflect a little bit on the journey, yeah, you do think that it's I suppose all been worthwhile, hasn't it?
So that was Tony Wines. Rang up Gary and Tim a little earlier today. They also had his former coach on, Dave Connolly, who's got the Echuca Hotel, who called in. I'll try and get some time to play a bit of that as well. But Ollie himself, speaking to Gerard Whateley, also just review when he knew that he'd won.
Oh, probably not till round 22 when I knew the Bulldogs game was... Marcus wasn't going to poll in that game, so I knew it was done and dusted after that. And that was probably when it first started to hit me, and it wasn't until I was on the stage getting presented the medal by Nat Fyfe that first hit me. And as I said at the start, it's probably going to take another few weeks, few months to sort of settle in. Yeah, certainly. There were times I sort of had to think if it was the right fit for me still, and if I needed somewhere else to sort of, find a new lease on my career. And it didn't happen, and I'm incredibly grateful for that. I love this group. I love everything about our football club. We've got full faith in the list we've got, the future we've got over the next 5 to 10 years. So to win this award is, it puts that in perspective and really shows that if you put your head down and work hard, something can happen.
Ollie Wine speaking to Jared Waitley a little earlier today. So equal Dusty for the most votes to win, 36 votes in total. And what a count it was. I mean, Bontempelli, the stats have been out today that he would have won all but three vote counts, all but three Brownlow counts in the history of the award. And even Clayton Oliver would have won all but six with the amount of votes that they polled. And we've got a lot of text saying, what about Sam Walsh as well? Aaron in Tuart Hill, he loves his Blues, and he loved Sam Walsh, 21 years of age, coming fourth. A fantastic achievement. He's actually equaled the most votes in a count of any Blues. So Chris Jardine, obviously Greg Williams, when they won it, he's got the same amount of votes in that coming fourth as they got when they won. So it is a great story, Ollie Wines. I mean, when you look back, and there was a great stat that I saw, I think it was 7AFL put this out earlier today, that in 2019, the skiing injury, and we all, you know, people have got their view on that, about was that the right thing or the wrong thing for him to be doing, but the injuries that he suffered with that, he only played 12 games in 2019, broken leg, broken thumb, buggered shoulder. Pre-season, he lost the captaincy going into last year. They just went with Jonas as a one out instead of having joint captains. There was all the talk about possibly being traded. And then I think it was even last year or the year before where he was overlooked for selection on a couple of occasions. So he's clearly got himself cherry ripe. He's got himself rock hard fit. And he's had a career best year. And to go down in history now as the first player at your club to win the Brownlow medal in its history is a phenomenal achievement. We're going to speak to his under-18s coach a little later on tonight. So Dave Hewitt coached him at under-18 level for the Bendigo Pioneers. He and Jake Stringer got taken in the same draft. Stringer went a couple of picks before him, but that was the 2012 draft that Lachie Whitfield went number one. John O'Rourke and Lachie Plowman all went to the Giants. Jimmy Tumpus went to Melbourne. I think there was a tweet that Tom Morris put out last night that his mum might have said on draft night, well, Melbourne have just given up a Brownlow medalist. Stringer and then Jack McRae was in that draft ahead of him as well. So congratulations to Ollie Wines. Phenomenal year, sensational vote count, a lot of stories and narratives coming out of it. And we might even go through a few more of those in Heroes and Villains a little later on. 1-300-736-736 is the number. Caleb Daniel, we forget, don't we, that there's a grand final this Saturday, by the way. Caleb Daniel and Tom McDonald have spoken at press conferences for their respective clubs a little earlier today. I'll bring you that and a few other things making news out of clubland as we continue time on SEN.
We have a session today and Wednesday and then Friday as well in the captain's run. So I think it's a pretty stock standard sort of week. Just make sure that, you know, you get the K's in the legs and the skills that you need to get done. And, yeah, I'm sure that'll all get done. We'll have some skill stuff on Wednesday as well. So, yeah, really looking forward to training today and then, the week ahead.
Caleb Daniel, Western Bulldogs defender, speaking about what the week ahead looks like as we gear up to a grand final on Saturday for the first time at Optus Stadium in Perth. He spoke about Marcus Bontempelli coming second in the Brownlow last night.
Yeah, he got close. He obviously had a tremendous year. So I wasn't there, didn't get the invite. So I was back home cheering him on with a lot of the crew that stayed back. But, yeah, like I said, he had a tremendous year and unfortunately fell a couple of votes short, but we know he's such a great player for us as well.
A little bit salty, Caleb Daniel, on not being invited as part of the contingent to the Brownlow. I have been told that it can be sometimes quite contentious about who gets the invite and who doesn't. Interesting that count, wasn't it, with Marcus Bontempelli? So the last three rounds of the year, the Dogs had losses. So they lost to Port Adelaide. They were lost to Essendon in round 21. Bontempelli had 34-1. If they had won that, you'd think that might have been a three-voter or a two-voter. Round 22, they lost to Hawthorn. He had 31 in that game. But it was such a bad loss. They only managed, they scored under 40 points, I think, one of the lowest scores of the year. So you couldn't really give anyone votes from the Western Bulldogs in that game. And in round 23, he had the 15 disposals and one goal, and Ollie Wines dominated that game. So interesting that those three losses, yes, they proved costly in terms of top four, but I ask the question without trying to be disrespectful to anyone or without trying to be mean, it's just an interesting thing to ponder, isn't it? What if they won at least one of those games against Essendon or Hawthorn with the output that Bond had? I wonder if we could have had two. We could have had joint winners on the days. And it's interesting, joint winners. We average one every 7.75 years. There's been 12 over the journey joint winners. And we haven't had one since 2012 now, obviously with what happened with Jobe's Brownlow, that Sam Mitchell and Trent Cotchin. That's the last time that official joint winners have been declared. And we do average them every 7.75 years. So we're due. We are due, and last night was very, very close. A lot of congratulations coming through for Ollie Wines off the text. His speech was fantastic. Really humble. Thanked all the right people. Got some help, obviously, from Port CEO Chris Davies in who to thank and to make sure. But the idea that he spoke about, that it was a team performance, a team effort, that's what it was all about for him. I thought he spoke really well and should be really proud. We're going to speak to his sister too in the sporting capital later on tonight, Maddie Wines, who took the video of the family just going right off when he was announced the winner. Tom McDonald from the D's spoke today and on their grand final build-up.
I've never done it before, so I don't really know, to be honest, but it's definitely a bit more low-key being here. You're not at home with, like, a TV going. Like, I've barely had the TV on in the room, and we don't have the newspaper out every morning to see things, so it's definitely felt a bit more subdued than even it did in Melbourne when we played in 2018 in the prelim. So hopefully that's a good thing. I understand how much everyone's got around the game here, but we're probably not interacting with people as much as you would if you're in Melbourne. So I think until we really get there on the day, it'll still feel a bit subdued. But it was a bit, when we got there on the prelim and you realised, geez, there's 60,000 here, that's when it felt like being back to real finals footy.
Tom McDonald at his press conference a little earlier on, and he spoke about Saturday's training session.
Yeah, we had a good hit out. I'd say we do, you know, 8 to 9 Ks of running for most blokes with a bit of, we have like a high speed requirement that's meant to be like a game. So you sort of get a bit of work in, but nothing quite like playing a game. So just enough to keep going. I think it's about the same as what we did before the Geelong game. So that worked pretty well. So we stick with that again.
So he also confirmed there's just no way that Charlie Spargo was going to miss that grand final. He had a little injury, a little ankle concern from that training session, but Tom McDonald saying there's no chance that Charlie Spargo misses the grand final, which is good news. Interesting one out of the Brownlow. So the Swamp thing is one of the only reasons I've still got a Twitter account. I think I've made my views on Twitter well known. But this is a great tweet from him. Another fantastic stat from the best in the business. The last 8 winners of the grand final. So the last 8 premiership winners all polled less Brownlow votes than their opponents. And 11 out of the last 13 premiership winners as a collective all polled less Brownlow votes. So Melbourne, 96 Brownlow votes. Western Bulldogs, 85 Brownlow votes. So do with that what you will. It's either we're either due for a change or history's telling a story. Don't want to throw a cat amongst the pigeons. Actually, I do. I do want to throw a cat amongst the pigeons there. That's it for Time On. We'll just change direction. We'll change the signage and we'll be back with the Sporting Capital.